Backseat Quickies, Episode 5, Hobo with a Shotgun. Hey, this is Scott.
And Bravna.
And this is Backseat Quickies. And tonight we are talking about Hobo with a Shotgun.
Hobo with a shotgun.
Yeah. So your high-level thoughts on this one?
Wow, really gory is my first impression. This was an exploitation film if I've ever seen one.
Yep.
Possibly the best of the trailer movies I've seen so far from Grindhouse.
I still have high hopes for Rubber.
Ooh, Rubber. Yes, but Rubber wasn't a trailer on Grindhouse, was it?
Wasn't it? I thought it was part of the contest. It didn't. Might not have made the prints.
Oh, okay.
Like, I think it was part of the trailer contest. I don't know if it made it into... Like, either that or it was weird. Like, I think the Canadian prints of the film had the Hobo with a Shotgun trailer, and then the American ones might have had Rubber. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I know that the AMC showed Rubber for a while.
Yeah.
I guess as high profile as you could get for a homicidal tire.
Yeah. But, okay, my high-level thoughts on this were, yeah, that this was pretty much a pitch-perfect recreation of sort of mid-80s Reagan-era exploitation action movies, like, very much in the vein of sort of trauma stuff. I'm not a huge fan of it, but I can appreciate the effort that went into it. The one thing I'll say I love about this movie right now is that oversaturated color palette.
Oh, yes, it made the blood stand up so much better.
Well, just every color in this movie is just so blown out.
Yep.
But in terms of plot, we have Rutger Hauer playing a homeless man who rides in on the rails to a new town, discovers that it's full of violent crime and terrible depravity, and so takes up shotgun-based vigilante justice.
And basically tries to rid it all with his shotgun.
Yes.
All of it. Does not discriminate about the crime, just everyone doing something bad. Boom. Dead.
It's, yeah, like, this is, and dead in so many interesting ways.
Yes. Like, entrails littering the street.
Yeah, this movie just revels in, like, B-movie gore. Like, many buckets of corn syrup and food coloring were spilled for this.
Yep. And all over naked ladies as well.
Yeah. Well, like, no, unlike a lot of 80s action movies, no gratuitous sex scene, but there's just this one scene where these three topless women are beating on a guy, and it doesn't make any sense.
No. The best one-liner, I think, in that scene was the something about...
When life gives you razor blades, make a baseball bat full of razor blades.
Yep. And then proceeds to kill the man with a baseball bat full of razor blades.
Yeah, this movie does not make a lot of sense.
No.
But, like, it's mostly just an excuse to string together really gory ideas.
Really gory ideas, and for once, not completely exploit the leading lady.
No, which is odd, because the leading lady is a hooker. Like, you'd think it would lead to that.
And not one single naked scene, or the hobo trying to have sex with her, or anything. He was even in her bed.
Yeah. And instead, he just talked about bears and went to sleep.
Appreciating that he could sleep on a bed.
Yeah.
Oh, for what? Like, that was a little refreshing in, as far as B-movies go. Definitely, a lot more refreshing than Machete. That was just, whoa.
See, this is the thing about these movies, is that it's not like, I don't enjoy the whole movies, but there's usually about one moment per that just sort of make it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the case of Machete, it was the weaponized lowriders.
Ah, yes.
And in this one, it's pretty much anything with the plague, which are, I guess, these two heavily armored motorcycle hitmen that kind of show up at the end to be the big boss, and they just go out. They just go all out crazy, killing people at random. And then there's this one scene where they're fighting a giant tentacle monster behind a door. Yep. And it never... It's not commented on, it's not explained, there's just these tentacles, and they're beating on them.
Maybe it's just, you know, a psychological representation of how bad the town has gotten, and it's the plague, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe, but that's giving this movie a little too much credit.
No, that this is mostly an excuse for crazy violent stuff.
Pretty much. Actually, most of the crazy violent stuff, I was just like, okay, this is passable movie gore. There was only one thing that actually disturbed me in this entire movie.
Oh?
It was the school bus scene.
The school bus was one step too far.
Yes, that was going a little too far. Spoiler alert, I suppose. A bus full of children get incinerated on purpose.
Yep.
That is not cool on any level.
Yeah. But okay, acting-wise, this movie has Rutger Hauer playing a hobo. And he's playing this completely straight. Like, and I think that's what helps this movie along quite a bit. Everyone else is playing very kooky, over-the-top roles. And yes. He's just playing this dead serious. And he gives this speech towards the right before the climax to a bunch of babies in a maternity ward that I think that comes very close to Tears in the Rain from Blade Runner in terms of Rutger Hauer speeches.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a very inspiring speech. You know, if you could remove the situation from the speech, it'd be a pretty powerful and moving speech. But in the movie itself, it just, you know, it added to his character.
Yeah. Other actors, it's just...
There's Gregory Smith as Slick.
Yep.
And he's currently on, his resume includes Rookie Blue, I think Joan of Arcadia was one of them. And he had a show, I forget what it was, but it was about his father was a doctor and his mother just died or something. I don't know, it was on TV a long time ago.
Yeah.
Seeing the characters that he usually plays and then seeing him in this, night and day.
Yeah, like he's just this complete dirtbag thug and completely crazy. And he, like, everyone in this is just sort of grinning over the top and having fun chewing on the scenery.
Yeah,
And it's, like, I can't fault any of them for doing it. You signed on for Hobo with a Shotgun. What else do you want?
I'm pretty sure the director didn't really direct it much and just said, go have fun.
Yeah.
Just here's your costume, here's a script.
Here's this heavily graffitied section of Halifax we're going to be running around with. Go for it.
Go for it. Go nuts. Have fun. Just a weird note. The Drake, that was his character's name. He's the father of these two, Ivan and Slick, the two kids that go run amok and cause havoc. He kind of reminds me of what I think Mel Lastman would turn out to be if he was an actual mafia boss.
Yeah.
Like, just going crazy with broad, throwing some bad boy stuff.
Yeah. Nobody!
Yep. And the ironic thing is that he was actually mayor for a time.
Yep.
So, that's just what I saw. There's really not much else to say about this movie, is there really?
No, I like that this is definitely, one actor we should mention is Strombo.
Ah, yes, George Strombopoulos. If you're Canadian, you should know that name from either Much Music or CBC's The Hour, which is now, I think, just called The Strombo Show.
I think it's just Strombo now, like how they have Leno.
Ah, yes, Strombo. It's the same thing as The Hour, they just changed the name.
Yep.
Canadian journalist, basically, TV journalist, playing a TV journalist in really bad 70s-esque brown suit with really, really bad news taglines. What is it? Delivering justice one shell at a time.
Yeah. But yes, he gives an excellent performance being murdered by an ice skate.
Which is fitting because he's a huge hockey fan.
Yeah.
All he ever talks about is hockey in the Habs, so that was fitting and hilarious and completely unnecessary, like most of this movie.
Yeah, like the...
So I guess he was about the only Canadian celebrity to make a cameo.
There was the guy from Trailer Park Boys.
Oh, yes, there was.
That guy. He was in it for the first 5 minutes just to show how brutal these crazy thugs are. And show off their weird execution method. Like, again, like this movie is less about plot and more about really creative ways to spray a lot of gore around. So if that's what you're looking for, this is definitely the way to go.
If you're looking for a Saw-type movie, but with, like, you know, no plot, this is your movie.
Yep. That is what I can say about that.
Yeah. Sorry, this is sounding a little awkward, but the movie is just a gory gore fest.
Like, it stays a bit longer. It's like a 90-minute movie, and probably could have been cut down to an hour short. I really like... One thing I'll say I like is that it's got this cheeseball 80s synth soundtrack that works great.
Yep. And it's got that one track that plays when there's an emotional scene. And it just uses that track over and over again.
Yep.
As if, you know, we wouldn't notice, but...
We did.
We did. The leading lady, actually, her acting wasn't that bad. Abby, I think her character's name was?
Yeah. Yeah. Played by Molly Dunsworth, who has done nothing. Really.
Oh, her acting wasn't that bad. In fact, it was a little too good for a B-movie.
Yeah, acting overall is really good. It's just... This is sort of... this is just really trying hard to recreate a B-movie, and at the end of the day, it's all you can say about it. It kind of has this interesting message, but it doesn't... It's not preachy about it, so that's something.
If there's one thing I took out of this movie, is, like, don't condemn the homeless. Toss them some change if you need to, you know? Not the crackheads, though. Not the crackheads, but the homeless. That's really just about it. And, you know, if I ever find a bunch of razor blades, make a baseball bat for
them. Well, when life gives you razor blades, make a baseball bat full of razor blades.
Yep.
One other thing I want to point out is if you're kind of a car nut, that a white Bricklin plays a pretty pretty large role in the movie, and this is this Canadian car from the mid-70s. It was supposed to look like an Italian supercar with the gull-wing doors, and it was just the goofiest thing ever. So having these two punks drive around in one is just hilarious.
Really, really hilarious. It's just, there's no way to describe how these two look. Those two were just Tweedledee and Tweedledum with slicked back hair.
Yeah.
So I did like their jackets. I want a jacket with my name on it. Any other thoughts on it?
I guess we can just move to end of it. I think this movie just is there. It's a very good sort of recreation of a certain style of film. If you liked that style, this is definitely for you. If you like Gorefest, this is for you. But otherwise, I can't, recommend it really highly. I don't feel like I wasted my time, but I'm not gonna watch it again, either.
Yeah, me too. It's not like, I'm not gonna see it again. Usually I do like watching movies again, but this one, I wouldn't. I'm not gonna condemn it as a bad movie. It's a genre movie, for sure. So if you like it, that type of movie, go ahead and watch it. Otherwise, I wouldn't really recommend it to anyone.
Okay. Oh, and I guess some sort of rating. Well, I'm going to give it, I don't know, a 3 out of 5. Let's say 3.
That's a little generous. I'd give it about a 2.5 out of 5.
I think I bumped it to a 3, just for the Bricklin. All right, latest.
Bye. Oh my god, it's the Backseat Producers.
Backseat Quickies and a number of better podcasts can be found at backseatproducers.com. If you offer any feedback or submit your own quickie, check out the thread at spookyouthouse.com/forum. Music by Scott Wachter.
Oh yeah, baby.